Everybody, welcome to the UGA Sports Live podcast. My name is Rodney DeBulsey. I am joined by Dane Young, Jake Roos, and of course the Hall of Famer himself, Jim Donnan. I am live from Plastic City Eats. The guys can't join me yet, but they will soon. They're all out of town, but once they are back in Athens or in Watkinsville, they can swing over by Plastic City Eats. They are now open for business. The grand opening is this Thursday. If you happen to be in town on the Greensboro Highway part of downtown Watkinsville, basically go to downtown Watkinsville, cross the railroad tracks on 15, and you will be at Plastic City Eats. The place is huge. They have tons of new food. You've got to come out here and try it. They will be the grand opening, like I said, is this Thursday, but between now and then, you can swing out here and try out the new menu items, like the CCE sliders. We got the Classic City sliders. We did not have these when they were in Athens. They are new here. So
that doesn't look like a slider. That looks like a whole hamburger to me.
I think when they do, you go someplace, you get the $8 slider, you know. They call their two hamburger sliders. So, yeah, that's how they do it. It's like this giant beef sandwich on the hoagie bun with the jalapeno stuck in the middle of it.
Seems like a good place maybe to watch G-Day, too, if you happen to be in town and don't get a ticket.
Yeah, you know, if you want to watch the Masters, come out and sit here and watch it on all these giant screens around me, you know. Can't hurt. Got fantastic food, whole new menu, tons of great stuff. Of course, they still have their chicken tenders that they're famous for and the best fried chicken you'll ever find. So when you get a chance, swing out to the new Classic City Eats here in Watkinsville. It's the move was a great idea. I hate that they're not on Baxter, but they just want enough room for all the stuff they want to do. So they're gonna have tables outside by the little pond over here. They're going to have the driving golf simulator in the back. So you can have the golf simulator events, you know. You want to come out here and play that. That's being installed in the back. They spent a lot of money on that thing.
Anybody's doing Top Golf in Sanford Stadium, I can't imagine a better place to get some of those, like, practice swings in than going over to Classic City Eats and using that thing.
Yeah, and there's actually leagues. You know, you can sign up and have a league and take on some other guys and come out here and whack the ball. And of course, they have direct services right beside the kitchen. So swing out to Classic City Eats, bring your golf simulation league. So it's more fun than darts. But anyway, we've got lots to talk about this week. Georgia just had their first scrimmage, and we can talk about that later on. We know we have a ton of questions that have come in from our viewers and readers at UGASports.com. But guys, to me, the biggest news popped the other day, and we kind of foreshadowed it on Sunday. Then Sunday night, the news hit, and Georgia now has a new transfer player in the secondary. I want to get everybody's reaction on that, and Coach, I'll start with you.
Well, it's certainly a position of need. A guy that has had a lot of success playing in the Big 12, starting for the West Virginia Mountaineers. And I think the big thing is, beside the fact that he can come in and hopefully help, you know, he has 2 years eligibility. So mm-hmm. whether he would stay or go out, you just don't know. The real factor here is the experience, the relationship with our new secondary coach who came from West Virginia. And just the fact that, you know, that's a position where we have some experience at safety, but Star is one we've talked about on every show, looking to work in Anderson more for the run game and redirect guys on routes in the passing game to the safety. Breeny, who had a really good game in the Peach Bowl, but really not an established star. So I would think that would be a guy that we'll look at very carefully there. The one downside is he hasn't played much man coverage. They didn't play man. That was one of the reasons we really didn't go that hard on the corner that went to Auburn is the ability to play man coverage. And, you know, that's a real staple of our underneath stuff, not to mention our corners. But when we get in nickel and dime packages, our safeties back up the underneath people who play man coverage. So he's going to have to learn that. But reading between the lines, I think it's certainly a good move. And it's a way to use the rules to your favor. Now, the rule hasn't been passed that he can directly be eligible yet. But, you know, for the most part, I think we're going to see a blanket one-year deal on anybody from now on coming in pretty soon from the NCAA. He's not a graduate transfer, so he doesn't automatically count to be eligible. But I wouldn't think we would have taken him and used up an initial if we didn't think he could play right away as far as being eligible. So that's my take on him. And, you know, I feel like two things here. We know a given there because it'd be like Roddy having a chance to bring Dane back from Albany. he knows a lot about him, you know what I mean? And or bring Jake down from Blue Ridge after he took a 2-year sabbatical. So I think it's just the knowledge that the position coach has, not only what this kid can do, but what our kids can do and how they compare. So he's had, you know, 7, 8, 9 practices looking at these guys. So it's a win-win situation. And you add the evaluation of Muschamp on top of it, looking at him from a standpoint of another set of eyes to go with Kirby and Lanning and everybody else. So I would say the guy is just what the doctor ordered.
Jake Tyke Smith was rumored to be looking at a lot of places, and then a lot of people didn't think Georgia was going to go in on him because they passed on a teammate. But this is kind of a different set of circumstances. And again, they're not bringing him in for a cornerback. But then we got word that, no, Georgia's definitely in on this kid. And he'd spoken to Auburn. He spoke to some other teams. And then it just hit. I mean, I basically put out a note on the dog vent that, hey, this is going to happen soon. And within a couple hours, it was done. So I think Georgia gets a big addition there. His position coach, as Coach Johnson says, is sitting in the room going, hey, look, I got a guy that will work. You know, let's get your thoughts on him, Jay.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty telling that you pass on one guy that he coached last year and take the other one. I think that tells you
that's basically my point. Thank you.
Yeah, I think that tells you a lot about what you need to know about the guy. You know, not that Drayshon Miller's not a good player, but just necessarily that the fit wasn't right, as Coach said.
Exactly.
I want to get to some numbers here. We've got some from PFF, and I thought these were really enlightening. Brent Rollins tweeted this out. He said, when lined up at slot corner in 2020, Tyke Smith, an 84.3 grade, that's number one in power five play, 103 yards, 8 first downs, 1 touchdown on 32 targets. Georgia's guys, Tyreek Stevenson, a 62.5 grade, 264 yards, 11 first downs, a touchdown on 29 targets. Mark Webb, 59.7 grade, 229 yards, 8 first downs and 3 touchdowns on 30 targets. So you go out and pick up a guy who has an improved grade. And like Coach said, it's a different circumstance. I mean, obviously they're playing a little bit different defense up there at West Virginia. However, to go out and add the number one guy, according to PFF, at that position, there's not much you can say about that move. I think that, you know, it really speaks to what they need. And look, if you don't think Kirby Smart's if you think he's sitting on his laurels, you know, people kept saying, how long have we been hearing on the boards? When are they going to go get some secondary help? When are they going to get some secondary help? It had to be the right fit. And I think that they went out and found a guy that they feel fits that profile just well.
Yeah, I want to add one other thing here that I feel like being on the show, I can add a little bit of the coaching situation about how you look at things. But you know, you pointed out that we waited a little while before we did that. And that was the same thing true with me. When I got the Georgia job, there were several kids that were going to leave Marshall. And I told them, I want you to stay there. You know, that's you were recruited to come there. But I also told the coach, if they're going to leave, I want to have a chance to show them what we have if it's available. But I told the two kids that came here, Landis Gary and Jermaine Wiggins, I told them both, I said, I need to go through spring, see what it's like. And I don't want you to come down here and not have a shot. I mean, you know, we got Robert Edwards here. We got Larry Brown. We got these guys. And so after looking at it, I felt like they could certainly enhance our team. Didn't know if they could start, but I do feel like that word of mouth, that trust that Coach Adai has with this young man certainly is going to help in the transition for him to know that he's going to really have a legitimate shot as compared to going to some other school where they got a new secondary coach, you know, a different head coach and all that. So that definitely was in our favor.
Well, and I wanted to ask you too, Coach, I mean, if you're a player and you're looking at this situation, I mean, I think it makes all the sense in the world for Tyke Smith to follow a guy who helped him get to those all Big 12 honorable mentions. I mean, the level of comfort between those two, I think, has to be firmly established at this point.
For sure. You know, you build that relationship with your position coach. They had an interesting situation come up last year. Their defensive coordinator, who we, you know, had been there for several years and had coached with Coach Brown at Troy State. Troy University now, excuse me, I don't want to embarrass them, but they had some player unrest during the summer, you know, which we saw around the country, and there had been some statements that had been made back and forth and some, maybe some emails, and ended up letting the coach go. And so they really didn't have a defensive coordinator going into the fall camp. And Coach Adai and these and the other guy kind of spread the responsibility. So he knows that Smith knows that the coach is going to have his best interest. And, you know, I think that that helps too, because when you have unrest like that, you need to rely on one coach that at least you're letting one go. And, you know, we're having another one that's taken over. So he has a lot of respect for Coach Adai, and he knows that he's going to have his back. But, you know, at the same time, the challenge of playing on a national contender is there for any young man. And that's what helps you with this portal, is that you can go to maybe a better school and have a chance to play for a championship. And that challenge is probably out there for him too. And it can't help but enhance his pro status if he becomes a pro player. I don't know if he's good enough or not. I can't say that. But when Kirby Smart saying, look, watch this NFL draft. We got five defensive backs going to the league next year. We had one 2 years ago drafted in the first round in Baker. So I think it's going to be a win-win situation for the young man and for Georgia.
And Georgia has a history of getting transferred defensive backs into the NFL under Kirby Smart. Maurice Smith did it early. You know, that was kind of hanging around through camp, but he stayed on NFL rosters. And same thing with J.R. Reed, where he's kind of in that same spot. So the opportunity will be there.
Yeah, DJ Daniel going to do it as well, you know, as a JUCO guy. And I think, too, that you have to take into account, now this is a Philly kid, right? And who did he turn to for advice? DeAndre Swift. You know, talk to him about the environment. How much is that benefiting Georgia? Even all these years later, you know, you think of how they set the stage for that. It's still reaping dividends that they expanded their brand that nationally.
The other thing that helps too is just the confidence that you have that a player coming from a program has been trained in a beneficial way. So when players leave Georgia, the teams that they go to, they have confidence that, all right, this person has been exposed to really good practice techniques. They've been exposed to some of the brightest minds in football. They've got, you know, world-class training. And some of that is the case at West Virginia too. I covered Neil Brown when he was coaching at Troy, and he's among one of the highest respected coaches in football. Now, he's an offensive mind, but in terms of building a program, he did a great job at Troy. And it seems like he's beginning to turn things around at West Virginia in a positive direction. It's a different beast there in that conference, which spreads so wide, and recruiting's just a little bit more difficult than it was, you know, in Alabama and the Sun Belt.
I can't wait till we talk about spreading recruiting wide later in the show, because it's gotten about as wide as it's going to get.
No, I know what you're going to ask, and the answer is no. So don't even bring it up. Now, if you wanted to head to Australia, I know that's where you were going with that, but if anybody's going to Australia to see a kid, it'll be me. Or, well, maybe you can go and get eaten by those giant spiders.
Yeah, I was about to say, you were the one complaining about the spiders in Australia. Why would you sign up for that?
Because the rest of Australia is cool.
I feel like I'm probably going to need about 2 solid weeks in Melbourne just to get a feel for the people and where it comes from. I'm trying to do some shoe leather reporting here, and I feel like I'm just being hamstrung, man.
Coach, would you send one of your assistants to Australia to check out a punter?
If you actually looked up flights to Australia just to see what they cost, because I had no idea. I'm like, what is the cost to fly out there? You know, I kind of understand what it costs to fly to the Middle East, because I've done that a couple times. You know, I've got a brother in Alaska. I know how expensive that is. So I'm like, what does it cost to go this far? Yeah.
I want to go Qantas as well, by the way.
What was it? How much was it?
$5,000.
No, that's peanuts for you, man.
Hey, look, I don't have that Athens Ford money. If you want a good flight and you want a trip like that, then you need to have a business that does a lot more money than what UGA Sports does. Not to say that we're walking around with our hat in our hand, but we're not. We don't have the size business that our friends at Athens Ford do, and they've built that business by having just great customer service, taking care of the folks and the people in the Athens community, taking care of the people in need in the Athens community. They do a lot of charity work, but they have built a very big, one of the best dealerships in Georgia, and definitely one of the most well-loved and well-respected dealerships in the state of Georgia based on their strong customer service, their fantastic deals, low-pressure approach, you know, no pressure, really. They're like, look, we're not going to hassle you and try to shoehorn you into a car or a truck that doesn't work for you. They do a great job getting inventory in. It's tough to find some of those Ford F-250s. They sell a ton of 150s. They have Rangers, Mustangs, all that stuff out there. Of course, they have all their vehicles from the lifetime powertrain warranty. And it's that customer service has allowed them to get big. And, you know, if Chris out there wanted to go to Australia, I'm sure he could do it. But I think he's a little too much fun driving his Bronco around. So, and if you want one of those new Broncos, check out our friends at Athens Ford, and they will take care of you. But yeah, here at UGA Sports, we don't have $5,000 to drop on tickets to Melbourne. But
I guess we should probably give some context to what we're talking about, because we haven't even mentioned the kid's name yet. We've just been talking about Australia for five minutes.
Kid.
that was a setup of all setups there. Yeah, Georgia adds a new commit in the 2022 class. That's Brett Thorson out of Melbourne, Australia, by way of Pro Kick Australia, an interesting program over there that basically takes these Aussie rules football guys, these rugby guys, and teaches them how to do the American style punt. Had a chance to speak with Brett the other night. Great interview. Kid was super open, and
it was a great interview. I did. Yes.
he was just a good kid to talk to. It was very little of me. And I will tell you, it's so much fun to go back and read that interview and read it in the Australian accent when because it's.
Well, you should have recorded the audio, Jake. You should have uploaded the audio.
The kid sounds exactly how you would hope he does. So, you know, had a chance to speak with him. Really interesting situation. I mean, he said, and I thought this was a very telling thing. Essentially, this program films them doing their punting exercises, doing their punt workouts, and then distributes that film to colleges. The colleges contact them. And he said, basically, once one college contacts you, you're in on them. Like, you focus on them. And so I said, you know, have you talked to other colleges? He said, no, Georgia got in contact with me. I respect that. That's how we handle it in this program. And so I've only communicated with Georgia. He only plans to communicate with Georgia. Guy's never been to the States before. Says he doesn't know if he'll ever have a chance before he has a chance to enroll due to COVID restrictions over there. He said, I don't know how it'll all work, but he hopes to get the chance. Anyway, go check out the interview with Brett Thorson over on UGASports.com. Thought it was really eye-opening. Talked a lot about Todd Hartley and his role in all of this, you know, how he had coached special teams down in Miami. Lewis Hadley, who guys may remember as the tattooed 30-year-old punter that Miami brought in a couple of years ago. He came out of the same program. He came out of Pro Kick Australia and was recruited to Miami by Todd Hartley. And so there's some reciprocity there as well. He felt really comfortable with that. You know, just seems like a really interesting kid. And I'll tell you this, I said on the board the other day, I don't know if the kid's going to be an All-American punter, but he's going to be an All-American on Millage Avenue. I promise you that.
Coach, how do you prep for something like this? I mean, we know that in this time of the whole COVID thing, Kirby Smart mentioned that some of his 16 early enrollees, he had never met face-to-face before. They had not been to Athens before. And you're having to do a lot of that with the 2022 kids that they're recruiting, the 2023 kids they're recruiting. They haven't been able to get them on campus, haven't been able to talk to them. But you've seen their film, or maybe they came by, you know, when they were a freshman or sophomore, something like that. Here's a situation where it's like, this kid's not been to the States. I don't know that Coach – did Todd Hartley go see him, Jay?
No, not to my knowledge. I believe it's all based on film.
Come on, Roddy, you can't leave the campus. Why? How could he go?
I don't know if he'd been out there.
Are you an authority? You're supposed to be an authority. We're breaking the rules to go to Australia, but we can't go over to Atlanta.
I'm just saying.
Get a hunter, no less.
I'm making the point that sight unseen, you're taking a kid that you don't know plays the sport. He's basically kicking in a program. He's not been in a football game before. So do you? You're taking him on scholarship. He's going to be an initial counter. This seems to me like a hell of a dice roll.
Roddy's not abandoning the Kirby copter. He's got the Kirby submarine down under.
Here's the thing, though. It's just like what you said. You prefaced that Kirby hasn't seen some. It's the same thing here. We got some guys we haven't seen live that we're signing. So,
but they've even played games before.
I just had to punk you a little bit on that. But the thing that Kirby's always talked about is – how much he hates the rugby style kick, trying to defend it and you know, pick the ball up or watching this guy's running back and same with me, your punt return guys turning their back and trying to run back and get hit with a low punt. And that will just enhance it. This guy can do both. He can kick it rugby style and kick it low on the run and have the threat of being the fake guy, or he can, you know, boom it with the, like Kamar did, with the same kind of, and you know, with the exception of a couple of poor punts, Kamar has had a great career and he'll have a good one next year. And I think I read that report you wrote. I'm always big on the kicking game, and I think that's going to really enhance our team. The fact that if we're faltering a little bit on defense or offense, you got to win two out of three to win a game. And I think we'll win most kicking games against most teams. So our kicking game is probably the strength of our team right now. When you look at some of the question marks in the secondary, the question marks now at receiver, the blend in the offensive line, how it's going to shake out. But well, you got guys competing for that return spot as a punt returner and kickoff returner, and you got a dead eye kicker in Pod and a great punter and Jake. So, I mean, our kicking game should be really good.
And Coach actually mentioned in the Georgia 3-2-1 report, everybody go to UJSports and checkitout.com. And basically, you can see where your influence has adjusted me. I've always talked about, you know, I do a weekly tweet about special teams because going back to the Mark Richt era when there were some issues there, and even before that, but there always seemed to be either a huge play for Georgia special teams or a huge mess up for Georgia special teams. And as of late, you know, or since Kirby's gotten here, it's always been almost always has been Georgia's strength with a strong kicking, strong punting. And yeah, Jake had a couple of bad punts, but then there were a couple of times he punted Georgia out of danger, you know, and made teams who thought they were going to get the ball, you know, on their 35, 40, start from their 20, their 15. He's had those 58, 60 yard punts and he's changed around. But the one point I was trying to get across to our readers is, I named a bunch of potential return guys and, you know, Kyrus Jackson, Arian Smith, guys like that. And I said, look at the names we're not mentioning as return guys. These are, you know, everyone's like, well, what about James Cook? What about Zamir White? What about, you know, some of these other guys? I'm like, yeah, I'm not even mentioning those as possible return guys. This is one of the most loaded teams that I've seen when it comes to special teams. And then guys like Channing Tindall and some of these headhunters, you know, Trayvon Walker, on the kick coverage teams, you know, on the punt coverage teams, punt block teams, you know, you how many, they're not really getting to Kamara when he's punting. The punt protection, the punt coverage, the kick coverage, the kickoff teams. You've got starters out there, guys who could be starters. You do have starters, guys who could be starters elsewhere on your special teams. And I just think that's, you know, the work that Scott Cochran did, a lot of people were, you know, questions about him coming in as a special teams guy. They looked really good last year. And then you got everybody on that team. All the coaches seem to have had some feel for special teams. And now you're adding this Australian punter. And I'm just thinking, man, if anybody's dedicated to the role of special teams, it's Kirby Smart.
Well, and specific to Thorson, though, we always talk about roster management, right? And so what that means is Kirby Smart and his coaching staff identifying potential problems in the roster before they occur, so they don't wind up with the situation a couple of years ago where a few things happened at wide receiver and they were thin, or the same thing at tight end, I think, the following year. What if Jake Kamara were to go pro after his third season? He's got the leg to potentially do that. It's rare for punters to do it, but it does happen. You say, what if? And then now you have, you know, a potential next replacement for that. That's what roster management is seeing that possible thing now and finding a solution for it.
Isn't this his fourth year coming up?
I think this is the third.
I don't know.
Old, I can't keep track.
I looked that up.
It's a good point about roster management for sure, but I thought.
All I'm thinking about is eating his beef sandwich. I don't know the roster.
No, you touched on the scrimmage a little bit, Roddy. Let's talk a little bit more about that in your 3-2-1 piece that you dropped the other day. We did have one question though for Coach, and then I want you to hop on that, Coach. Riser on the board said one of the board insiders reported from the scrimmage that young guys in the secondary did some good things individually last Saturday, but need to get better at playing together. Can you give some examples of times when defensive backs need to work together, and then talk about how coaches get them better in that department?
Great question, Riser.
Yeah, that's definitely a good question. And I think the combination of working with your safety corner relationship or your safety backer relationship, everybody's got to remember that the first thing you have besides coverage, which is number one, is run support. Who's got who's got the gap? If you've got a blitz on, you got to have somebody that's leaving that position to cover that position if they run the ball. And that's why you see some gaping holes sometimes. What's happening to our D line or something? But really, it's because you have a blitz and the guy doesn't fill the right gap and they busted on you. So the communication of you'll make a secondary call and then you'll make a call about who's got the gap. And that's really important. And the other combo is, if I've got the flat and I'm a safety and the guy's got the deep third behind me, and all of a sudden I think he's got the flat and I've got the deep third and we both got the flat, that's when you see a bazooka going down the field. So you got to communicate, and you also got some checks. Now, when the team comes up and lines up in a different formation, you don't want to have the huddle call because you're kind of beating your head against the wall trying to play that coverage against a certain look. So communication is vital. I mean, I would say probably as big as anything, particularly on defense when you got to stop somebody that knows where they're going and you don't. That's the advantage that the offense has. They know what they're going to do, and they know what the snap count is. But after that, it becomes just who can execute. But you know, I think certainly the people in the on your side or our side, I guess I'll help you. They count on these insiders talking about practice and all that. And I think if I'm a coach, it pisses me off that I let somebody in and they put it out there. I don't think that's good, but they felt the need to show what they know. And I really don't read that stuff, but I do feel like that sometimes when you're looking at it from a fan perspective or an insider, you're not really looking at what the coach is trying to do. The coach is trying to look at how and put a guy, not so much to win the scrimmage, but see what he can do in certain situations. A guy can play the whole time and you not throw a deep ball on him and they'll say, well, he had a heck of a scrimmage. Well, he wasn't tested. So you're going to go out there with the idea, and Kirby's going to tell Munkin, I want you to go after speed. I want you to go after Ringo. I want to see how they cover this route. Or they'll say, I want you to do this with your tight ends to see what our linebackers can do. And conversely, Coach Luke will say to Coach Scott or Coach Lanning, I'd like to see a different type of twist than what we're seeing in practice, just to see if these guys can react on the run here. I want to see something, where it's just not scripted. Let's see how they can handle this kind of pressure. So when somebody watches a scrimmage and makes this report, it looks like they weren't together and all that. Well, they weren't playing Clemson. They weren't playing any. They were going out there and they were kind of like somebody in the lab. They're experimenting and trying to find out what these guys can do in game type situations. And it's the first scrimmage that some of these guys have ever had, 16 of them. And a lot of them It's the first spring practice scrimmage they've ever had when they're tested like this. Last year when they were practicing, they were getting ready for a game in the summer. So they weren't looking at that. Oh, they're looking at what Arkansas would do or what Alabama would do. So you can take those insider reports and they're good. I'm sure they know and they can tell you who was out there, and the guys stand on the bridge and say, well, you know, Kirby was giving them hell today. Let me tell you what, you could stand over there in Australia and Kirby would give them hell. I mean, he's going to. That's the way he does. I don't say give them hell, but I mean, just encourage them and get after them and all that. But
encouraging, yes.
But I think people are starving for information, that's for sure. And that's why it's good that you get that stuff. And Roddy's among the best. I don't know who he talks to, but, you know, Nick Saban was accusing some of these offensive coaches of being in the Taliban and all that because of stuff they do. But I'm sure that answer that question, you got to have communication, no question, between different groups, and you got to get the checks. But I think in these analyzations or analysis of practice sometimes are a little skewered because you're not looking at what the coach is looking at, and you have a tendency to say, God, you know, Justin Robinson beat Ringo on that play or so-and-so. Well, I mean, you're going to get beat some. You're going to do all that. But the best highlight of the day that I read about was hearing about Jackson intercepting a pass and all the players swarming him up because, you know, there's a guy that's a walk-on that they need to give him some depth, and he had some success out there. So then the kids respect that. There's nothing like having your peers respect the fact that, hey, we're glad you're on our team. We're glad you're out there with us and you're playing a role. And we take a lot of pride in the fact that you're on our team. You think that's got to make that kid feel good.
Jake Camarda is a fourth-year senior, by the way, so I'll take the L on that. I also feel very old because I felt like I just watched him play in high school in one of the state championship games. So,
well, man. That's the first mistake that you've ever made on this show, but I felt like I needed just to find, I felt like I needed to show you my talent there.
That's why I hitched my wagon to you, Coach, soaring into the sun.
Now, Coach, actually, I was very happy to hear that part about Jackson getting interception and the players doing it. And that's why I always love the videos of a walk-on who gets a scholarship and see all his teammates just go berserk. It makes me excited. But I heard the highlight of the practice was Big Jordan Davis picking up a fumble. You know, the big nose guard, big number 99, and rumbling, stumbling, and getting into the end zone for a touchdown. And heard everybody just went bonkers. And, I mean, that's the
But you don't usually see a 90, you know, a guy at 350 running down the sideline kicking up his, like, I'm sure he was trying to do Deion Sanders there.
High stepping, baby.
But from what I heard, you know, it didn't go under center a whole lot, and Erickson was the first team center, right, and Van Pran was the second, and they moved around, and then they went under center, and Van Pran came in with the first team, and they dropped the center snap. And I'm sure Kirby has told JT, don't fall on the snap like that in the scrimmage because we don't want somebody piling on you and hurting you. And Davis picks it up and takes it to the house.
See, that's the video they need to release. They always put out these little hype videos and, you know, they kind of show the guys. They'll show like 2 seconds of a play, you know, an interception or a touchdown pass or guys just warming up. Give me the video of Big Jordan Davis scoring a touchdown. Come on, man. Come on, UGA. Give out a little bit. And as Coach said, people are starved for information. And we got a ton of questions about the scrimmage. We put what we found out that we thought was, I don't want to say legit. We only wrote stuff we feel is legit. But if we heard it from just one person, we didn't put it into our notes on the board. But if we heard it from multiple people, then we're like, okay, to Coach's point, we don't know what's going on. We don't know what they're calling. We're not seeing it for ourselves. We're seeing it through someone else, and it's their interpretation. So it's very tough to do it. But, you know, when you have 3 or 4 people tell you, hey, by the way, Brock Bowers looks phenomenal. Okay, hey, here's a note. Brock Bowers, the tight end out of California. This kid is turning heads. And this isn't the first time we've heard that. We've been hearing that for months, ever since he showed up. You know, we hear that, hey, Justin Robinson looked good, the wide receiver. Okay, well – the fact that you have a lot of guys banged up. You know, you have George Pickens out. You had Arian Smith, who got hurt in the scrimmage. You had Jermaine Burton got hurt, I think, the day after our show last after our show last week. Jermaine Burton hyperextends his knee. So they're moving down the depth chart, and a guy like Justin Robertson, Demetrius Robertson, they're getting a lot more passes. They're doing a lot more. So you're hearing about them. Doesn't mean they're going to be a starter, but, you know, when multiple people tell you, hey, he had a good day, you put it in the notes. Had a lot of people ask about the offensive line, and we put in a note there that Jamari Sawyer didn't scrimmage. He's wearing a black jersey, but that you're like, well, okay, then who played left guard? Well, the guy that played it last week, Justin Schaefer. Justin Schaefer played left guard. You know, I mean, I'd say last week, the guy that played it last year. So basically stuff like that. It's kind of who we heard played, who participated, who we heard good things about. But again, and we've done this even in the fall scrimmages, when they are prepping for a game, we try to warn our readers, don't read anything into this. I remember Mark Rick would come out and he'd be like, okay, I know this is what you guys want. And he'd kind of roll his eyes and he would give the stats. And it would be Aaron Murray, 18 of 21, 341 yards. And people would just be like, oh my God, Aaron Murray's going to be the greatest quarterback since sliced bread. But it's like, wait a minute. Yeah, he's very good. But that was also against the number two defense or the number three defense, you know? And if in a scrimmage, if one side's doing well, and then if you're like me, you worry about the other side that didn't do well, you know? So the doomsdayers, the doomsday prophets, the negative Nancys, the Munsonites, it's like if one player did well, then who messed up? And then they're the folks that read way too much into a scrimmage where, as coach says, look, they may have been working on tricking players or testing them or doing something else. So don't read too much into it, but do go by UGASports.com, read the 3-2-1 report, read their insider notes. Just take them all with a bit of salt there. It's a grain of salt because it's just a
Well, I think where it helps fans is they'll get to be introduced to some players they probably haven't seen much of. And so when they see Dan Jackson playing in the G-Day game, they say, oh, I heard about him from either the podcast or UGASports.com, or when Jalen Johnson is lining up as, you know, one of the main wide receivers on one of the G-Day rosters, you're going to say, okay, yeah, I've heard about that guy. I saw him a little bit last year, but we've been seeing that he's getting a lot of playing time in spring. That's what this is about, is trying to see who's on the roster and what they can do, because we know what Jamari Sawyer can do. We've seen it for multiple years in the SEC.
Well, let me give you a factoid here, and let's just carry this forward from now on about practices. You can only have three contact deals where guys go to the ground throughout the spring. One of those is in the spring game, the G-Day game. So any statistics that come out of something from Saturday – need to be taken very lightly, because unless you're a pro scout or a high school coach or somebody that really knows football, you don't know really what this part is scrimmage and what's not. Because I know being around Kirby, they'll say they'll have 140 plays or 130. Well, some of these will be 7-on-7 where there's no line rushing and the other people are down at the other field. Demetrius Robertson might catch three passes on 7-on-7. And then they'll do some goal line 7-on-7. He might catch two more. Then they'll have a scrimmage where there's, you know, you'd move the ball, and if you don't make it, you'll kick it or kick a field goal. And he might catch two. Well, at the end of practice, the guy said, hey, Demetrius Robertson caught 9 passes out there today. Well, sure, but how many of those were really in a game-type situation? So I think it's very appropriate for me to just kind of point this out, that was a practice, number 9, that involves some scrimmage situations, but it also involves what they call thud, where you get as much as you can out of the play, but you don't take a guy to the ground. We don't have enough people to go out there and run 130 live plays against each other and really come out like you want to. So you got to finish spring practice. So I just wanted to add that in there.
That's a good point, Coach, because somebody sent me a note the other day saying one of the kids, I think it was like, it might have been Brock Bowers, said he played 70 snaps. And I'm like, wow, that's a lot. But you're right, if it's a lot of it's 7-on-7. And then I remember Jake and I sitting up in the press box a couple of years ago, or yeah, I got two and three years ago. And we're sitting in the press box and we're watching the open practice that they would have before the picture day, you know, when or the autograph day. And we were basically, Jake had half the field, I had half the field, Anthony Dasher was doing part of it, Patrick Garvin's doing part of it, and we're basically jotting down what happens on, because they've got the field split in two and they're running 7-on-7 this way and 7-on-7 that way, and then they go into goal line, red zone, but basically situational stuff just constantly. And that's what a lot of practice is running those situations. Okay, 3rd and 8, offense, here's your situation, defense, here's your situation, you guys need to deal with that. They run that and they change out personnel between each snap, and we are scribbling, talking, trying to write it all down, and then we come up with a 4,500 word practice report. And again, it's because they're testing things like that, you can't read it as gospel. You just read it as practice. And so I think, Coach, you make a great point.
And I would say this, I would say every player on the team had 70 snaps at least.
Yeah.
Brock wasn't a lone ranger, but he did.
It sounds like a lot. If that's the only one you hear, you're like, well, Brock had 70 snaps.
He did benefit from the fact that, one of the players wasn't out there. So, I'm letting this bother me too much. So I'm just,
it's a great install. It's fair.
I just feel like that in the end, you're just going to get the G Day game and that's going to be the real deal. But the rest of this stuff is,
hey, Dana, are we going to do a watch along for G Day?
Are you going to pay me to do a watch along for G Day?
Yeah, is it going to be streamed or what? It's not even going to be on ESPN or anything, is it?
I would say unlikely, Roddy, but we'll have some gifts from it. That would be my answer to you. You're the boss man, so thanks for letting me pick my schedule.
Roddy will be there taking pictures.
Yeah, I'd like to. They won't let us on the field to take pictures. I really would like to get back out there. That's give me 3 vaccinations. Let me on the field. Come on. I want to be out there and take pictures again. I do want to give a big shout out to our friends at Aaron Overhead Doors. They are one of our longtime sponsors. When we wrote the Georgia 321 report and posted it the other day, it was because of the support of folks like Aaron Overhead Doors. They sponsor it. They do not get any of the blame for any of the misinformation that was in that, but all the good stuff, they have thanks to Aaron Overhead Doors for doing it. If you need your garage door fixed, if you need a garage door installed, if you need your garage door opener repaired, if you need your garage door opener program to match up to the buttons in your car, anything you need, commercial, residential, especially the commercial part, if you have a receiving area, stuff like that, your shipping area, you want that sort of thing worked on, reach out to our friends at Aaron Overhead Doors, AARON. They're in the Gainesville area, but the service area is gigantic. Basically, almost all of Northeast Georgia, Cobb, Gwinnett, Barrow, Habersham, Dawson, North Fulton, Stevens, Jackson, Forsyth, White, Oconee, Clark, basically any of that area, they will get out to you. You can contact them for free. They will give you an estimate. You can chat with them. You can set up the time for them to come out. You basically go into their calendar and put your name on it. It's pretty easy. You can see some of the custom work they've done. They do, it's not just standard garage doors. They have people who can design stuff for your specific needs. You can't see it right now, but there's a garage door installed here at Classic City Eats that opens up so that they can have, go out onto their patio there. You can get one of these nice sandwiches, delivered through the bar there. So when you get a chance to use one of our sponsors, be sure to swing by Aaron Overhead Doors. Let them take care of you. We really appreciate it. Let Ryan Lucy and the folks know that we recommended them. And I know Ryan's watching, and so shout out to him and all his great customer service. Also want to mention our friends at Academia Brewing Company. The Masters is on this week. If you're not coming to Classic City Eats because you're on the west side of Athens, they're over there by the mall area. Swing by Academia Brewing Company. Get those fantastic beers. Right now they have their Wild Mushroom Burger. You really got to try that. I've had it. It's phenomenal. This week, yesterday had live music. Today is Trivia Tuesday. Tomorrow, on Wednesday, Kids Eat Free. Can't beat that. Thursday, again, live music. So come by the brewery from 6 to 9. They're going to have live music out there. And then on Saturday and Sunday, they have their beer and biscuit brunch. So I've had that as well. Swing by our friends at Academia Brewing Company. They have tons of new beer. the beer, the weather right now is phenomenal. Their beer garden that they started building towards the end of the year last year, in fall. It's outside, great tables, shade, plants everywhere. You can eat outside, enjoy this beautiful weather. You get all those fantastic beers that they make there in-house. You can take a lot of them home with you. So swing by Academia Brewing Company and try the new beer, the new food, the new menu items, and the new beer and biscuit brunch when you get a chance. Jake, I'm sure we got a bunch of questions that popped up. You want to hit us with a couple of those?
Yeah, let's kind of go through these kind of quick because we do have a bunch. The first one for you, Roddy, a lot of people on the board asking about Georgia maybe taking a second transfer DB and the name Darion Kendrick getting kicked around a lot. The Clemson transfer, there was an issue with a gun thing. I don't even remember the specifics of it necessarily, but I think that you can find the report if you want to go check it out. But anything you're hearing on the end of Darion Kendrick right now?
Basically, my when I put that in 3-2-1 is that, you know, Georgia was going to bring in Tyke Smith. I said that was going to happen very soon. You know, happened within an hour or two. They brought in Smith. Remember, he's coming in as a star safety guy. They still need cornerbacks. They've still got a couple spots left on the roster. It would not surprise me to see them go after Kendrick. This is a guy who, yeah, it looks, you know, people are like, well, no, he can't do that. He had a run-in with the law. Well, you know, some of the stuff has yet to be adjudicated. So you need to check out. My point was, I trust Kirby Smart and those guys to separate fact from fiction, do their research, and see if he's a fit. You know, if he's not a fit, then he's not coming to Georgia. No question about it. You know, will he work out with the team? If he is a fit and they basically look into the background and see what happened, and we work in journalism. It is our job. We understand the number of sites and the number of places out there that love a juicy headline that is devoid of facts or devoid of context. Kirby Smart deals with context. He deals with facts. So does his staff. I've known some of his, I don't call them investigators, but guys basically do background checks, known him for years. We know the people that Kirby brings in. They do, they look into guys. And they, I know that there have been numerous times that, Jake, you've interviewed a kid and you're like, that kid, that's a good kid. You know, he's going to be great wherever he goes. You know, and we thought, well, but maybe he's not going to get an offer. And sure enough, Kirby and those guys talk to him and realize, hey, this kid, he may not have the standard height and weight that you're looking for, but this is one. Basically, he's a Richard LeCount, as you know. Daniel Jeremiah was talking about when it comes to the NFL. You know, one of those guys is just he's a can't miss player. You know, when it comes to leadership and stuff like that. So you can't always go by what you see on the height weight chart. You can't always go by what you see in the media when it comes to headlines. Kirby Smart, those guys, this is their livelihood. They're going to leave no stone unturned. They're going to do all the background checks. If Kendrick works, you know, then he works. If he doesn't fit the culture, I mean, this is a guy who's, you know, no longer Clemson, then he won't. But I think it's very premature for Georgia fans to write off, you know, a possible first round cornerback. I trust Kirby to do his research, is my point.
I think Georgia fans would agree with you. That's probably too early for them to write off a first-round cornerback if they get the chance. Coach, this one from Twitter for you, from UGA Alum 95. He says, after watching Clemson's spring game, I'm not sure if Georgia can block Brian Brissy. That could be the key to the game. What do you think?
Well, he's definitely a threat for any team and somebody you got to be very much aware of. There's a lot of teams that can't block him, but there's also a lot of different forms you can use to help out, though. Double team, use the back on him on the chip block. He's definitely a force that you got to be to reckon with, but fortunately for us, their secondary is going to have to play, and their new offensive line is going to have to try to block some of our guys. I mean, I don't know if their offensive line can block Carter or Walker, you know. I mean, so it's going to be the similar situation where you got to give and take your strengths and weaknesses and play around it. Tough loss for them, losing their second team quarterback with an Achilles in the spring game. That, you know, they're going to be looking at a guy coming in. They've got three quarterbacks coming in as their backup. So there's going to be, I mean, it's a huge first game for both teams because it just has so much national implications in it for sure.
Can we practice now? DJ Uiagalelei?
Yeah, there you go.
Well, DJ, he's a good one.
And I'll tell you this too. I'm not saying, listen, like Brian Bresee is going to be hard for anybody to contain. Georgia knows that kid well, though. They've scouted his game for years. They wanted a piece of him. They're very familiar with this kid. I promise you that they're leaving no stone unturned, and they've got a lot of history when it comes to Brian Bresee, as do most of the elite programs in the country, because he was as good as it gets. H. Holland over on the board for you, Coach. He says, in your opinion, right now, who would you project as starters at cornerback against Clemson outside of another transfer coming in? He says, I'm going to go with Amir Speed and Keely Ringo. I think experience wins out for Amir Speed and talent wins out for Ringo and catches up to the speed of the game. Any early predictions for you there, Coach?
Yeah, he really went out on a limb on that one, but he did
a good job. He's also one of our insiders. He knows some stuff too. So.
He did a good job. I mean, seriously, that percentage wise, I'd say you got to put Kimber in there just because of all the experience he got last year compared to Ringo, and you could have a combination of all three of those, kind of like we did last year, where Daniels rotated around and played both corners and. Went in for both of those guys. So we'll just have to see. But those three definitely are the ones that look like the ones that they're going to work with the most. But Carroll is, from what I've heard from reports from different people, has definitely got the speed, just not hadn't played enough. But, you know, they're throwing the kitchen sink at him. They run a lot of different stuff in the spring, and then they'll cut back. But I don't think we're near as – in position of need at defensive back that we were the first year when Kirby was here. I mean, we're just so much more talented with the athletes that are trying to make these positions work than we were then. And we really had to do a lot of stuff to cover up for that. And because of that, our pass rush was not that great, but we were so worried about people throwing on us. We were dropping everybody, but, the thing that everybody's going to have to contend with us is our front seven. Man, oh, man, speed, size, quickness. Our front seven is going to be, you know, you're talking about Clemson's. Our aggregate front seven, to me, has a few more guys than their aggregate, you know, when you take all seven of them. So they're going to have to block all those guys too.
Speaking of that Clemson game again, in the same vein, I guess, talking about moving guys around and especially in the secondary, Bulldog Ben wants to know, he says, with some of the injuries we've seen at wide receiver, do you think there's a chance that they move Lavoisier Carroll back to the offensive side of the ball to have another weapon? Or do you think that they wait to see if they get another transfer guy in?
Well, that's always a point of contention when a guy can play one or the other, and he was brought in as a back, but knowing he could be a defensive back. So I would say they're going to keep him there. But I think if we get one more guy hurt, we're going to have to look at the portal with those guys.
I think you look at the depth in the secondary and you say, look at the amount of things that it overcame last year. It's a deeper secondary than what people want to realize. Now, it may not be names that, you know, have a lot of experience or guys that have been on the field a lot at Georgia, but, you know, with the addition of a guy like Tyke Smith, I mean, I know he's not a cornerback and he's probably going to play star or maybe even help at safety, but Georgia's got some guys there. And even at receiver, I mean, you're looking at, you get down on the depth chart a little bit, there's some really good athletes that were recruited that, and I look at Ladd McConkey, and I know he's not going to be an outside receiver guy, but could he contribute for Georgia at receiver? Yeah, sure. I think he could.
Here's the thing about our receiver core. You just don't replace Pickens, Burton. You just don't go you know, a guy used to say like a kicker. Well, hey, kickers are like street cars. They come down San Francisco every 15 minutes. You don't get guys like George Pickens. I mean, we haven't had anybody like him, you know, consistently that dominated in the games he played, either first downs or touchdowns, 75 plays out of 85. I mean, just ridiculous. So everybody said, well, these guys are going to be okay. Hey, they are, but they're not going to be what George was, but yeah, we got other ways to make up for that. But I think you made a good point. McConkey, you have a role. He can jump in there, but you got to have a guy out there at X on the one receiver side that everybody on the other sideline is looking for a porter potty over there because they're scared to death of this guy. You know what I'm saying? Everybody knows that this guy can hurt you, and you're worried about messing your pants, really. So we don't have Burton's the same way. Smith's got that same kind of ability. Blaylock, but coming off of two ACLs, we've just got to be really careful about saying these other guys can step in. Sure, they can step in, but can they step in like this guy? I mean, come on.
And for that position, I mean, it's Burton and Rosemy Jack Saint. So I wasn't trying to say McConkey's going to be out there.
I didn't mean to argue with you about it either, because I busted you once today. I was talking about the overall
Kyler Jiller coach.
I was talking about the overall view of everybody saying we're okay at receiver. I was just answering that question that you know, one more receiver has a debilitating injury. I could see us looking at like we did with Cager when all of a sudden Holloman's out. You know what I mean? We brought Cager in late. So I could see that happening.
I think Kurt should bring up a good point, because we do this. We did it with we've done it with offensive line. We've done it with defensive backs. We've done it with quarterbacks. Yes, there's a next man up. But there's a reason the next man up wasn't the first man up. He wasn't as good as the one ahead of him, usually. So – and you go back to that first year, you have Eric Stokes come in for Juwan Briscoe. Things change, and that looked better. But that was things have definitely changed in secondary. But you're not replacing George Pickens. You're taking those 40-something passes, 36 passes last year. You're spreading them out, and you might throw them to a Darnell Washington. You might throw them to Brock Bowers. You might throw them to James Cook. You throw them to Kendall Milton. But it's still not the same as, like you said, that next guy out there who's just got everybody terrified. You know, when you look at what Alabama has had, tons of those guys, you know. Ohio State's had some. LSU's had them. You know, Clemson's had them. When you have that receiver that's just he's a knee knocker. That cornerback's like – he's across from him going, please don't burn me, please don't burn me, please don't burn me. And knowing that you don't want to be on that SportsCenter highlight as the guy who got dunked on, yeah, George Pickens did that to people, and it's tough to replace that. So, seeing Jermaine Burton get hurt and Arian Smith hurt a wrist, it does make you think that, you know, you do have a couple spots in the transfer portal you might want to fill out. So, I can see it.
All right, we got a couple last ones here, a couple recruiting hits to get to real quick. I'm just going to fly through these. Dabfoot2269 says, which DT do you think that Georgia has a more realistic shot of landing, Walter Nolan or Travis Shaw? I understand where his question comes from, because if you haven't gotten over and checked out the story with Travis Shaw, you should do that. Some really complimentary things he had to say about Trey Scott, clearly well-connected with the guys on the team. I tend to lean right now toward Walter Nolan personally. I just kind of get the better vibe from that. I think that Shaw – I'm definitely not saying there's no chance. I do think that Georgia's firmly in it, and they're going to get a visit, and they'll have an opportunity to continue to grow their standing. But I lean toward Walter Nolan right now. Roddy, do you disagree?
You're wrong, but that's okay.
All right. I'll take it.
I tell you what. After speaking with Travis Shaw, I think it's going to be a Georgia-North Carolina battle for that guy.
I can see that. Definitely.
And that's going to be a tough one. But I think Walter Nolan's going to be what he cut it to 8 recently.
Yes. And Georgia was not in the 10, but now they're in the 8. So.
And when he cuts it to 3, I bet Georgia's in the 3. But it's going to be a absolute battle for that. And
I think he'd split him.
You could be playing the odds. I think Georgia makes Nolan's top 3. I think they make Travis Shaw's top 2. So that's why I'm like a 50-50 chance versus a 33% chance. I'm gonna say Travis Shaw.
If you can reel in either one,
you get Mykal Williams and a bunch of others. So.
Yeah, you reel in either one, it's gonna be just fine.
Yeah. It's gravy.
JR Scar 86 says, O-line recruiting seems strange. This is a position Kirby usually prioritizes, but it feels it's a little bit of the bottom of the totem pole this year. Are we just so loaded from the last two classes? We're trying to create some separation. I think that there's probably a little bit of degree of that. I think also, too, you don't necessarily have the built-in guys that you've had in previous years who kind of came out with some of that same interest. There aren't a lot of top-tier in-state guys this year. There's a couple out there, but not really. It's just not a great class where the O-line is concerned. So I feel like they trust their evaluations. They feel like they can go out and find some guys. And, hey, let the fall play out. See how some guys emerge over the course of that time through fall practice and through the games. I think that you'll probably get a better feel on it then.
Not a lot of film out there on some of the guys from this past recruiting class.
Bingo.
We were in North Carolina. They're actually playing their football now.
H. Holland had one more for us. He said, who's going to be happier on signing day in 21? Is it going to be Coach Adai or Coach Scott? It may not be as clear cut that it's going to be Coach Scott. The DB class is shaping up nicely. Yeah, you got to think with those transfers, it's looking pretty sweet. Marquise Groves-Killebrew is, I think, a kid who's going to have a big senior season, bump his stock up a little bit. Personally, I could see where he's going, but I think when you boil it down to in terms of five stars, I think it's going to be harder to compete with what Trey Scott's going to do. I think that he's on the hook for two already. I think that he's probably got another one in Mykal Williams at some point. And then, like I said, if he splits Travis Shaw and Walter Nolan, I think that he's going to be just fine about where he stands on signing day in 21.
I'm going to tell you who's going to be the happiest when it comes to signing day, or happiest any day right now, is our friends over at Your Pie. They have a new pizza out. Jake, you're going to like this. Barbecue Chicken Bacon Ranch. Yeah. And for me, they have a new ice cream flavor, a new gelato flavor, key lime pie.
There you go.
Key lime cream pie gelato for limited time. So I'm going to have to swing by there. But
I'm more limited time because Roddy's going to go to all 70 franchises and take all they have.
Barbecue Chicken Bacon Ranch pizza. You got to try that. Of course, if you're trying to be healthy like me, not today, but today I'm going to be killing all this fantastic food here. It's Classic Good Eats, but they also get salads out there. They have sandwiches. You can get some of their signature salads, like the Capri salad and Caesar, or you can do a custom. You basically say, I want this, and this in it, and they throw it all into your salad, and it's fantastic. You can do custom pastas out there. Of course, you can get their custom pizzas. So check out our friends at EuroPie, tons of locations. And if you order today, it's Tuesday. They do double points on Tuesday, so use the app. Get free food. It is very, very easy and very quick if you order on the app, especially on Tuesdays when you get double points, to qualify for a lot of free food. So don't forget to do that. And, of course, if you are a listener of the podcast, you know that one of our biggest sponsors is our buddy Ronnie Brown at DR Construction Maintenance. Spring is here. I know a lot of people are getting out, getting work done. They need help fixing their homes, fixing their places of business. So reach out to Ronnie Brown and DR Construction Maintenance. If you're in Liberty County, Long County, or Bryan County, he will take care of you. So shout out to him, and appreciate him being a sponsor of our show.
I do want to mention it is Masters Week. Six former Georgia Bulldogs in the field at the Masters. Hudson Swafford, Brian Harmon, Brendan Todd, Kevin Kisner, Harris English, and two-time Masters champion Bubba Watson.
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to the Georgia women's tennis team. Jeff Wallace and his staff and the players have already clinched the regular season with two matches to go. SEC champs, they got to win the tournament. They're ranked number three in the country, have a chance to win the national championship. And also, Coach Manny Diaz's team had some injuries early. They're on a five-game winning streak, and they play Texas A&M Friday night here. Big match. So I hope we can get some fans out there to back before they go to a baseball game or something else. Go watch the Dogs play.
You want to talk about Jeff Wallace and Manny Diaz, two of the greatest Dogs that have ever come through. You know, you got guys like them and Jack Bowerly and Chris Hack. You know, look at how many guys Hack has in the Masters. And speaking, I don't think it's a inappropriate to mention, though, Dan, you talk about these six guys that are in the Masters. Four of them are members of the Dog Vent that I know of. The other two might be, but I'll tell you that. They read UGASports.com, and when people go on the board and say, hey, good luck, Brian Harman, you know, he sees it. So
a lot of them still live around Augusta, live around Athens, because I remember there was a post on the Vent in the Masters from the fall, and it was like, well, one of the guys missed the cut, and then the next day I saw him in the cereal aisle with his kid at Publix in Athens on Atlanta Highway. I'm like, man, that's got to be a time warp. I just saw you on my TV.
Yeah, exactly.
The only thing that'll make a secondary coach more nervous than covering George Pickens, having somebody trying to cover George Pickens, is to be invited to the Masters and go down there and have to hit off the first tee and not be a very good player. That would make them nervous to need a porta potty.
Have you played Augusta National, coach?
Several times. I wouldn't say I played it. I was out there. I did birdie number 12, though. And not many people can say that they birdied 12. So I did.
Impressive.
I'm so jealous. I hate you now. Anyway, that's all the time we have for this week's show, folks. Appreciate you sticking around with us. We ran a little bit long, but it was worth your time. And we appreciate you tuning in. Be sure to tune in next Tuesday. We'll be talking more Georgia football, more recruiting, and anything else you want to bring up, be sure to follow us on Facebook. If you listen to this podcast on Apple, iTunes, or Google Play, be sure to leave us a nice review. We'd really appreciate it. It means a lot to us. And be sure to hit the subscribe button on that YouTube page there. And check out, I think we're going to have a little promotion coming up at UGSports.com. So if you haven't been able to read the Travis Shaw interview, you haven't been able to read the 321 report, you haven't been able to read all the insider notes at UGSports.com, stay tuned. We'll have something for you. All right, take care, guys. We'll see you next week.